Welcome to Between a Talk and a Hard Place, a podcast for women bringing down-to-earth conversations about the realities of our real-life experiences. I'm your host, Lisette McKenzie, author, life and mindset transformation coach, and self-concept connoisseur. And together with my girls, Alicia and Natira, we'll be discussing everything from situations to situationships and the challenges women face every day as we navigate this thing called life.
So, hello, we are here. Today we're going to be talking about friendships, and I have Natira and Alicia on with me. And we all know how important it is to socialize. We know as women, we tend to be more of the social butterflies of the human gene pool. For some women, not always so. Alicia and I are introverts. Natira, I don't think you have. Are you introverted? Are you extroverted?
No. Nothing about me is intro, nothing. I'm externally extra.
Okay. All right. So Alicia, we adopted us an extrovert. It's okay. Usually they adopt us, but we're gonna keep this one. This one has been my girl. This extrovert has been my girl since the sixth grade, so we have to keep her. I can't get rid of her. She's here to stay. So we want to do, today we're going to be talking about what's important. What does friendships look like? What do we look for when we approach the topic of friendship? Because I know it's not like when we were little and, you know, you meet somebody and all of a sudden you're talking and you're playing around. Now we tend to be a little bit more judgmental and picky about, well, at least I know I am a little bit more picky about who I choose to hang around and who I choose to talk with. So what do you ladies think? What does friendship look like to you guys?
Alicia, you go ahead first.
Okay. So to me, friendship is a bond between two people, either related or not, where you can have no judgment, no filters, and you can be totally yourself around them. And there's also that understanding and support that whenever something in your life happens, you have each other's backs.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. What about you, Natira? What does it mean to you?
I think friendship comes from so many different avenues and areas. I think friendship, you have many different friends who filled many different areas of your life that some can and some can't. For me, I think friendship is a way in which you can share yourself, being yourself, and accepting of the person who you're sharing yourself with. Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know if my perspective has changed a little, but I think as I get older, and I can learn something from everybody. So for me, I live in a non-judgmental zone. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what it took to make a person who they are and how they are.
Right.
So for me, I could be friends with anybody. However, who I choose to share myself with is determined by that person's behavior, actions, and abilities. Because some people are just not as trustworthy as others. And so when it comes to having close personal friends, I think that is a huge factor, whether or not you can trust the person to really guard your secrets, your stories, yourself, you know, because sometimes you just need to vent. I'm just telling you to tell you not to go blast it across town either.
Right.
So I think friendship can come in many different shapes, forms, sizes, people. And you get them from the least expected places sometimes.
Right. Agreed. And what you said, just to reflect back, you said you talked about your perspective changing. And I think as we get older, not only does our perspective change, but our needs change. So the type of people that gravitate towards you and I'm guilty. Sometimes I just, as much as I don't want to socialize often, I get all these weird gravitational pulls from these random people. And I have to come home sometimes and look at myself like, what the heck? Like, is it my perfume? Maybe I shouldn't wear this because this is a weird day. I don't know what, like, what is it? My pheromone, what is it? Pheromones?
Pheromones, yeah. Yes.
Sometimes they just be pulling people out the woodworks. And I'm like, okay, I think I need to scrub myself down. Something has to change.
Sometimes people see things in you that you can't see yourself.
That's very true.
That is very true. However, that doesn't mean that they are my people. They're not my people. They can see whatever they want. And I appreciate them for seeing my wholesome goodness, but not everybody's spirit fits with mine. And I have to step away. And sometimes people are so forceful and want to, and you know, it's not any fault of their own. That's just how they are. But I like to be very guarded about who I let into my territorial bubble.
Mm. So, and when you say that, do you mean as far as just general casual conversation, or are you talking about, you know, you're going to invite them over to the house for, you know, after work?
Oh, very few people get invited to the house after anything. Before, after, no. They can forget that they'll be waiting to the rebirth of sweet baby Jesus before they get an invite anywhere. But I can talk. I can definitely have discussions with people. I just like to look for a truly authentic feel in order to be able to call somebody a friend. Okay. I can have acquaintances for days, but it takes somebody really special for me to consider them a friend. And I think a lot of people misunderstand the difference in acquaintance and friend. Okay. Acquaintances are not necessarily your friend. Friends sometimes aren't necessarily your friends, but we'll talk about those shiesty mm-hmm. ones later on. Mm-hmm. I just like to, a lot of people don't make it out of the acquaintance phase, and it doesn't matter how often I speak to them, how often I see them. Mm-hmm. I do not categorize any and everyone as a friend. You'll be my neighbor or my coworker for 20 years. And
that's
be a
just
friend.
What you are.
That's what you are, yes.
Co-worker on the neighbor.
Yes.
They what over about? There saying, Lizette, it's my friend. That's my friend over there.
I got to hold up a sign like, no, she ain't. not this Lizette. Maybe you talk about Lizette Melendez, because Lizette McKenzie ain't your friend.
Oh, okay.
Just like back in the day on the dating game, it's a pass.
Yeah, like no.
It's not a match.
No matches over here. Mm-mm. No. Swipe to the left.
Like next.
And I don't know. For me, I think I am guarded about who I'm bringing to my home because that's my intimate personal space. Mm-hmm. So everybody is not invited into that particular space.
Right.
But for me, I have friends, you know, and maybe they don't consider me their friend. I don't know, but I've it's rare that I meet a person that I can't call a friend or friendly to me. Mm-hmm. Even people who are mean, I realize I've come to recognize as I get older that the meanest people are the people who are hurting the most.
Right.
Very true.
And so for me, I try to figure out what that is and try to find some common ground mm-hmm. because I don't think most people are mean. I don't know, maybe I'm just an optimist.
You're just an extrovert.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, no, you're just an extrovert
because something happened, and you know,
no, that's just the extrovert in you wanting to be all up trying to figure people out. I'm like, now you keep your meanness right over there, ma'am.
Yeah.
Don't you bring it over
here?
Oh
well, yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. No,
go ahead, Alicia.
I feel like. I understand sometimes trying to figure out why people are the way they are. But to me, if I automatically kind of have an instinct of not bonding with someone, I just kind of, they'll be in what you call the acquaintance side of things, or maybe just even less than that. If it's somebody at work, it'll just be a coworker. I feel like you can give people a chance, but I'm not someone who wants to give someone multiple chances. Like, once you show me something that proves that we don't have the same energy or the same interest, I'm kind of just like, next, you know.
Right.
And I'll give people multiple chances. I will. Yeah. I worked with a girl. I'm going to give you an example. I worked with a girl. She was very mean. This girl was mean. I said, what is wrong with this girl? Because there's no reason for you to be this mean. We just walked in. I had to take my coat off and you already We just got here. What's the problem? What is this girl's problem? And I found out that this young lady, she was married. She couldn't have children.
Oh.
And so, now that doesn't give people a license to be mean. Don't get me wrong. I'm not excusing her behavior. But there was a reason for it. And so once I found out that that was the reason why, you know, she was being so mean all the time, I said to myself, okay, let me see if I could try to find some common ground with this young lady. And one day I just told her my story, my experience with trying to conceive and having children. And after that, you know, that girl was never mean to me again. Now, I can't speak for everybody else, but she was never mean to me again. Mm-hmm. Because I've kind of found a common ground with her, because we did have to work very closely together. And I was like, I don't, you know, I could not give a hoot, but you know, how am I going to try to make this relationship a little bit better so we can work, you know, amicably together?
So that is, and I get what you're saying.
And I wouldn't say that we're friends per se. You know, I don't know her intimate, you know, details of her life, and we don't go anywhere, we don't do anything, but we are very friendly to one another when we see each other, because I understand what she was going through and she understood me. And I think sometimes more than friendship is about an understanding. Just having an understanding of where this person is coming from, to be able to get along.
And you know what?
And that doesn't always work, granted.
It's all about just being a decent human being. And it's your workplace.
Right.
Now, being friendly and being friends are totally different. Yes, they are totally different. I could be friendly, but you will not be my friend. You gotta be something special in order for me to be. I'll be nice to you all day for the sake of a good atmosphere that I have to be in 8 hours a day. We will find a way to make it work. But when I leave, when I clock out at 5 o'clock, I clock you out. Like, you, I don't know you. We're just completely clocked out. Like, I don't even know you until the next day when I see you again. So, and I totally get that. But on a more personal level, having good friendships is important. It's important
because, oh, for sure,
as women, even when we're not big talkers like Alicia and I, we still need to find that time to talk. We still need to communicate with somebody. How does it look to you, Alicia, to find a friend that you can confide in? What does that look like to you?
I think that's one thing that is kind of a challenge, because I do have friends that I do feel comfortable sharing parts of my life about, but I guess I'm guarded to the point that I do have a hard time sharing everything with one person. And I do realize that as I get older, that it would be nice to have someone to confide in, but I guess, I don't know if it was how I grew up, feeling like I had trust issues at times, that it's hard for me to completely trust someone. But I'm trying to work on that, because I realize I can't keep everything inside and expect to feel okay. I have to let what I'm feeling out. So for me, it's a tougher process because I just have to feel like I can trust you, not like we were talking about earlier, not to put business in the street. And then once I get to that point, I'm like, okay, I can tell you about my life without fear of retribution or whatnot. But yeah, it is a process. So like you were saying, Lisa, I can't instantly tell someone everything about me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do realize the older I get, it is good to share because some things you literally cannot keep to yourself and expect to be healthy.
Right. Mm-hmm. And especially with, I think, I don't know if it just relates to friendship, but I just think people in general nowadays lack respect. It's hard to trust. You want to build these friendships with other women, but then like for Natira and I, we're married. I wouldn't trust myself to build a friendship with just anyone that I can say, okay, come to my house. Like that takes time. That takes a lot of vetting to make sure that, you know, I can trust you to come into my home and not have to worry about you trying to come into my home when I'm not there. Now, granted, not just with my husband, but with my kids, you know, you bring these different people around your kids. And I don't know, it's like men gossip too. Men are definitely, I never knew the extent of a man gossiping until I heard it myself. And I think we're going to talk about that one day because men gossip like there's no tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
but women gossip, and it's like there's no loyalty. I think loyalty is very sparse.
For me, I guess because I am the loyal one, and people know this about me. That's why they tell me stuff. Mm-hmm. They said, Tara, I know I can tell you this because I know it's not going anywhere. If you tell me something, I already know because you're telling me that this is between me and you. You don't even have to say, keep this between me and you. I know that that's the case because you're telling me.
Right.
And then you're telling me something that's so intimate or so hurtful, whatever the situation may be. I know to keep my mouth shut. You don't even have to say that to me. So for me, I guess because I am the loyal one, I just expect people to be just as loyal. Although I have ran into situations where that has not happened.
Yes. I was about to say, because you could be you could be a sponge and soak it all in, but I have learned to watch because that person comes and confides in you, it's everything that's said. Now, she could be, you know, you can meet someone and they tell you all their business, and then they start telling you about somebody else's business. I know right there that
you already know.
Yeah, you're not one of my people. You're not my person. Mm-hmm. I'll listen to you all day, every day, but you'll never know much past my first and last name.
Yeah, because if a person who, my mama used to say, person bring a bone, take one too. That's my mom used to say. Mm-hmm. They bring you somebody else's business. What you think they're gonna do with yours?
And it's good.
I get that.
And you want to be trustworthy because you are. Natira is, and Alicia too. Alicia is such a sweetheart. When I first met Alicia, I was like, oh my God, look how sweet she is. The first thing I said was, oh, I can't hang out with Alicia because she's so sweet and I'll corrupt her. That was the first thing I said. I was like, oh, I would corrupt Alicia. But she is so strong-willed, like, it's impossible. And I love that about her.
Thank you.
And you, Natira, you are loyal to the bone. So this is why
if you tell me anything, and I'm going to give you an example. Something that happened at my house. So my sister-in-law, my husband has two brothers, and their wives came over. And my husband said, I already knew it was going to be trouble. One sister-in-law is talking to the other sister-in-law. They start telling the business. Telling stuff they ain't, both of them need to be quiet. So then when it blew up, And the husbands found out, they came to me and said, well, what was said? I said, ask your wives.
Yeah.
If you want to know what was said, ask your wives. Don't come at me because I'm not divulging anything. My husband said, you won't need to tell me? No, because I know you're going to tell your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to, one thing I know for a fact, and I have learned the hard way, honey, stay out of married folks' business. Period.
Yep.
I don't care what happened. You just shit.
Yes.
Because they'll make up and be mad at you later.
They'll be mad at you, yes.
Because you won't be a man. So I I learned from the two. I'm telling them nothing.
It's okay. How are you?
It's the only thing to tell, but still, you know, you when you know that about a person,
right?
You know, for me, I'm better off knowing than not knowing because right. then I know how to handle you. You know,
yep.
I know how to. I can still kiki, have a good time, whatever. But I know that you can't be trusted with something that needs to stay within the family business.
Right. You absolutely.
Just, you can't be trusted with that. So I think with anything is knowing your audience, knowing who you're talking to, knowing how that person is. And just like you said, loyalty is a huge factor. But I don't know. I guess I'm just so naive. I'm so loyal. I just expect everybody, you know, I shouldn't have to tell you. You should know.
It's an expectation. Yeah.
It's an expectation.
I think just maybe bad experiences, because I think I used to be like that. I think I used to want to befriend everyone. And
no, I don't want to be friends with everybody. Let me take that back.
I think I did.
I am friendly with everybody, but we ain't got to be friends.
Yeah, I promise you. I used to be like, you know, just try to have a good old time, and my feelings would always get hurt. So I had to learn that I could be friendly, but I don't have to consider you a part of my tribe. I don't have to build this tribe and have you in it. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
Experiences. What has ever happened to you, ladies? Have you all, any of you had just that one bad experience where you knew that that so-called friendship was not gonna work?
Well, I don't know if I had a bad experience with it. I don't want to call it bad. I want to say it was a learning experience. I befriended a coworker a few years ago. We started our job the same day we got promoted, pretty much at the same rate. And something happened. In our personal life, and we became even closer. But over time, I was realizing she was doing all of the sharing about her life, but I couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, when you go through certain things, you want to be able to confide in someone, but I still have that expectation that it's reciprocal. Like, you can tell me about things, but I should be able to tell you about things, no matter if they're equally weighted or not.
Right.
And I just kind of had that feeling like she was just always going to see me as a sounding board, more so than an equal who could actually share. Because she would share something, and I'd kind of give feedback, and then I would start to share something, she kind of check out of the conversation. And at that point, I kind of had an idea that, you know, we might just be better as being acquaintances and coworkers rather than friends and coworkers. And it was fine. Like, I think she kind of had the same realization that we still had a good working relationship. It didn't get awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned from that experience that if I can't share as much as I'm listening, then I don't think the friendship is going to be equally balanced. I'm going to feel like my needs aren't being met. So that's where I feel like you're becoming more of a therapist than a friend. And that's not my job. I don't have a degree in psychology.
Maybe you should, though. Maybe you should.
You see, I'm working on mine. What about you, Natira?
I didn't have a Well, I had a friend that I've known about, maybe just about as long as I've known you. And we grew up together. What happened as we grew up, we went in different paths. So even though I still consider her my friend and she still considers me her friend, our lives are very, very different. Mm-hmm. And so there are certain things that I don't share with her, and I'm sure there are certain things that she doesn't share with me just because right. we're on different, we're on totally different paths in life.
Right.
And I remember when I had first got married the first time, she said, "We don't hang out like we used to." And I said, "Well, I'm married now. You know, mm-hmm. my priorities are different now. I still love you, still my girl, I love you. Mm-hmm. I'll always be there for you. But I can't do what I was doing before, hanging out in the club and running around right. with you, partying, because I have different priorities."
Right.
And so our friendship changed because of that. But we're still there for each other. It's one of those friendships where, you know, no matter how far apart or how long we go without talking, if she call me, I'm going to answer that phone.
Right.
And if she need me, I'm going to be there.
Right.
It's the same way. If I pick up the phone and call her, she'll call me and I'll be there. She'll be there for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say necessarily that it's bad, but sometimes you do outgrow the person that you once shared a lot of commonality with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to happen in life. But to me, a sign of a true friendship is if it doesn't matter how long you go without speaking, if you can come back to that same point, like y'all ain't skipped the beat, that's a sign of a true friendship.
Right. Right.
That it's not awkward, it's not strained, it's not, you know, I'm still your friend, you're still my friend. Let's pick up from where we left off.
I agree. And I think that to what Alicia was saying, where it was one-sided, I think friendships have to balance. That doesn't mean that for each story your friend shares, you have to share a story, but that person has to be willing and be interested in hearing what's going on with you.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays is just, to me, what I've seen is that there's a lot of selfishness. And it's a turnoff. It honestly turns me off from even wanting to get to know people. Like, even some of my coworkers, I'm like, oh, they're so, you know, I'll train people. I train new people. I'm like, oh, they're so cool. And we exchange numbers because if their system is down, they can always text. You know, we have to have that open communication. And they'll text me, you know, random stuff. And I'm like, oh, no, we didn't get to that point yet. we definitely did not get to that point yet, but they're, you know, they seem like they're really cool, but I'm like, you know, I have been shitted on in friendships in the past, so I kind of, you know, shy away from just being so welcoming. And people will tell me in a heartbeat that they think I'm mean. Like, oh, I thought you were so mean. Oh, you didn't
really?
Look so. Yes. They're like, oh, you were not. You didn't look so approachable. Yet here you are, ma'am. If I wasn't so approachable, why are you here? And I think I do put up that facade that, you know, I'm unapproachable, because sometimes I just don't want to have to dissect what somebody's true ideals are. I just don't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Are you the same, Alicia?
I wouldn't say I come off as unapproachable, but especially at work, I am the type who I'll come in and I'll just start working. Like, if I see someone, I'll say good morning, but, you know, I'm not the type of person who's going to go and have a 20-minute conversation about what I did over the weekend. Usually, I don't tell a lot of people what I do over the weekend, because honestly, I don't think it's anyone's business. And again, I don't want to have to be like, well, can I tell this person this one thing and they not get judgmental or crazy? Because some people you talk to, they'll still judge you for being an introvert. So if I tell someone I don't really do anything this weekend, they're like, why not? It's so nice outside. Well, I didn't want to. And to me, I don't feel like doing all of that. But also I wanted to say is I think social media has kind of reoriented people's values. Like what you were saying was said about some coworkers going too far too fast. I think that has a lot to do with social media now. You go on Facebook, some people tell you some everything. And I'm just like, I understand this is a tool people use to keep in contact with friends, family, classmates, coworkers, etc. But also you have to realize that a random person can see what you're posting. And again, I don't want to have to deal with figuring out, well, can I post this picture and someone say something, or yeah, it's just too much. And then at the same time, again, I don't think it's everyone's business. I don't think everyone needs to know about your marriage or your kids. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole concept of boundaries and what to share and what not to share has been blurred because of social media, because people don't have kind of that guard up like they did back in the day. Because, you know, back before social media, it was pretty clear what you would tell friends and what you wouldn't tell.
Yeah. And social media, honestly, you're not really seeing the realness in people. A lot of the things they post is what they wish their life was really like.
Right.
I like to post random things. I like to post things that I find funny.
Right.
Yes. That's what I love about your post.
I'll post things that I just find, and sometimes it may not be so funny, but it cracked me up for whatever reason. And that's what I'll do. And I tag my husband, I'll tag whoever. But when it comes to real personal stuff, like I could be upset with my husband, but Facebook or Instagram will never know. I could have him tied up because I was beating him with a stick.
Yeah, with that man at now. Don't tell me he's tied up now. I got to call 911.
Let me smile and nod like a foreigner. He's okay.
I need to see him before I get off the phone.
All right. But, I'm not going to post that because, like you said, Natera, if me and my husband could be going through something and, you know, I get all these other people involved and now they're mad at him and I go ahead and make up with him, it don't make no sense. I don't want to do it to myself. I don't want to do it to him. And, I mean, you know, if I have him tied up, he tied up.
For social media purposes, it should not be every, you know, you'd have to have discernment on what you should and shouldn't post up there. Right. For example, I have me and my girlfriends and friends went out, mm-hmm. and my husband, he always takes pictures, lots of pictures. I have lots of pictures. So, but the girl posted the pictures. And I'm coming to work and sit down. My coworker said, "Look like you had a fun weekend." I said, "What you talking about?" I saw you on. You saw me where? You wasn't where I was. I saw your pictures. What pictures? Man, I got on that Facebook. I ringed her out. I said, "Let me tell you something." Thousands of pictures. We don't post this on social media because that ain't for everybody. Okay.
Have something.
Yeah, I was furious. I said, "You don't post that. Don't you post no picture of me?" I was looking good too, girl. I was looking good. Fresh, I looked good. But that won't the point. The point. If I wanted everybody to know that, I'd have posted it myself. That's nobody's business when I go to work. That's nobody's business.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. I think when it comes to certain things, you definitely have to have discernment as to who you're speaking to, what you're sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this person, a trustworthy person? Will this person, because I'm at the point, I don't really care if people have an opinion or talk. I don't care.
Right.
I'm at that age where I maybe I'm not there. Yeah, but I am. I could care less. Do you pay the light bill? Okay, you don't pay the light bill in the morning. All that, so I don't really care. You're entitled to your opinion. You feel whatever you want to feel.
Absolutely.
I have no bearing.
Absolutely.
About what's going on over here.
Absolutely.
So
I agree.
For me, I don't concern myself with, you know, what this person's going to think or say or whatever, because I really don't care.
Right. I agree.
I'm to your opinion, but you have no say so.
I agree. I had one. I think one of my worst acquaintance experiences was her and my daughter, her daughter and my daughter, my oldest daughter, were friends. And I would always be at work and the kid's dad would be home and her mom would send food to the house. And I'm like, okay, you know, she was Jamaican. And I'm like, oh, okay, she sent us some Jamaican food. All right, I'll, you know, go open the bag. It's one plate. And I'm like, okay, she sent me some food. And it would be a little note on the plate that had his name on it. And I'm
wow.
Okay. Well, okay, I let him eat it a couple of times. And I'm like, okay, let me just really get an understanding. So she started coming over more often. And I had to ask her, like, are you coming over here for me? Or are you coming for, you know, am I like that middle? But yeah. And, you know, she would always come to me. Oh, I just wanted to talk, because she always had all these problems. And she wanted to talk to me about her problems. But the reality was, and what I found out, and I found out from her daughter, who was just talking randomly, that half the stuff that she was saying were her problems weren't even her problems. She was just trying to find reasons to come to my house.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm like, here I am, you know, being nice, being, you know, befriending you. And you being sneaky and shiesty, no,
I mean, I feel like anybody that's too over you, just quell that down a little bit. Anyway, you know, because for the sake of your own household, I don't need you over here all the time. Why are you always over here?
Yeah, and I'm like, why? Why
that's
are you
why
there's
again? A telephone, text me, Facebook, Duo,
girl.
You know.
I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson. I'm like, everybody don't belong in the house. No, you don't belong here. You definitely don't belong here if you don't pay no bills here. And you can forget about coming in if you didn't call first. And if you do call, you'll be lucky if I answer it, because I don't. So, it's just. I think
your home where you lay your head, where you're the most comfortable, should be the most sacred.
The safest
and the
place.
People
that's
who come
right.
in it should be your loved ones. I mean, that's just how I'm old school like that. Should be your loved ones, your family, and your friends. And you should have that deep commitment to one another. Now, mind you, sometimes you have a little get-togetherness, some associates there, whatever.
And that's right.
But you can't just be popping up on Saturday and Fridays and Tuesdays and Mondays.
First of all, you can't just be popping up, period. Don't pop up. Don't pop up.
Nope.
I need to pin you in on my calendar.
Yep.
Do not pop up.
I mean, a true friend wouldn't do that, wouldn't try to monopolize your time.
Right.
My friend would make time to make time. Hey, what day's good for you? You know, for us to get together.
Right. Agreed. I agree.
That's what a good friend does. A good friend doesn't just monopolize your day.
So do they really exist? So I don't know if the friends that we had growing up, like, do they really exist? Has experiences just changed women so much that it's just hard for them to trust and build these friendships? Because even in cliques that you see these women hanging out together all the time, like, you'll always find that one that is gossiping about someone else, or they're hanging with each other but they don't really like each other. Like, where's the authenticity?
I think that, you know, television reality shows and things,
I was just about to say that,
have perpetuated the idea that women are catty and cannot be friends, and they're you know, there's a hidden agenda and they're all talking
yep.
about each other and blah blah blah. And I'm not saying that isn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my circle is very tight and very small and mm-hmm. very intimate mm-hmm. that if I've even sensed that that's going on, then I'm just going to cut ties and be done with it. Like, I don't,
right.
I'm at an age, I don't have to deal with all of that. I really
Absolutely.
Don't. And I don't feel like it. And listen, So
absolutely.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but in my circle, it doesn't, because I have a circle of friends and loved ones that we really do love and care about right. one another. It's a true love
right.
and friendship with, girl, if you need me to come put you in the bathtub, I put you in the bathtub.
Right.
And that's the kind of friendship kind of I'm talking friendship. About.
Yes.
You know,
that's exactly girl, what I'm talking about.
I'm yeah. over there with the chicken soup and yeah. you know what you need. Yeah. And I'm going to lay hands and we're going to pray and we're going to do all that. So, you know, I don't know if that kind of love exists today, but that's the kind of love I want. So that's the kind of love I'm going to portray.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
You know, I'm one of my closest and dearest friends. I tell you how we met in Texas, because I had no friends. I didn't know nobody down here. Mm-hmm. I was working so far away and I had to pick up my daughter from the daycare by 6:30 p.m. Me and this lady, we run into the door at 6:30. Me and this lady meet at the door. Every day, 6:30, me and this lady running. We running, because after 6:30, you got to pay. I said, man, I don't know who you are. I said, but we going to have to get to know each other. Because one of these days, one of us going to have to pick up these kids. Mm-hmm. And I don't have no extra, and I don't think you do either. That's why we running. Our kids knew each other because, mind you, they was in the same school, same grade, same daycare, you know, after school program. Mm-hmm. And me and her got to know each other very, very well. When it was, okay, can you pick the girls up today? I got to go run an errand. Okay, can you pick the girls up today? I got to go run an errand. And to this day, we are the best. She lived around the corner. I come to her house, mm-hmm. got so shed so many tears and tissues and snots and, you know, stories and you know, that's my friend. That's my true friend.
That's and genuine. That
every woman needs a true friend. Somebody mm-hmm. they could cry and snot and cuss and fuss and do all that, and they don't judge you or talk right. about you or, mm-hmm. or you know. For me, I now that I'm older, I live in a judge free zone, because I don't know what shoes you had to walk in to be who you are, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right.
And all I see is just a little. I don't have the full story from birth and every experience that you've been through. So for me, I'm gonna be your true friend. And I'm gonna tell you the truth too when you're messing up.
Uh-huh.
And like it or not. Like it. I'm gonna tell you,
that's
you might
right.
not like it or not. About
to say. Like it or not, that's right. And that's true friendship. I think that is the kind of friendship that I gravitate towards. That's the only kind of friendship that I'm willing to accept, because I don't want somebody
with, yes,
yeah, I don't want those. I don't want anybody to help me increase the benefits of my downfall. I need somebody to tell me when I'm wrong. I might not like it, but the truth right. is the truth, and I'm willing to take accountability for when I'm wrong. And I think a lot of people are not willing to do that. So they don't want people that are going to tell them about themselves.
Yeah. No, some people want yes people. And then some people too, they want the benefits of being your friend.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, mm-hmm. you know, you might be a generous person. Let's say you're generous with your home and your food and your, mm-hmm. you know, so every opportunity that there's an occasion, they make their way over with not mm-hmm. nothing.
Mm-hmm. Sorry you came all this way for nothing.
Like, can you break the plate for plate? And even that, those type of things, I'm like, whatever. Because I don't know what it takes to be who that person is. And I don't yeah. know what they're going through or what the situation may be. And I don't like to pry. If I got to pry stuff out of people,
it's a turnoff, and it's not worth the time.
Yeah.
You get the benefit of the doubt one time. You might get it twice, but if you're not making any efforts, and if I don't see those efforts, I'm like, this is not for me. This is not worth yeah. my time. It's not worth my peace. It's not worth my sanity. You can yeah. keep all of that.
Yep.
So, I mean, friendships are important, but I think we have to know what we value in order to cultivate the type of circles and friends that we need to have around us.
Well, I know for me, one of the things for me, I'm gonna be true to who I am. Mm-hmm. So if that is not pleasing to you, then I don't make no excuses for it no more. Hey, listen, take it or leave it, love it or leave it. This is who I am. My husband, brother's wife, they call me bougie. They said she bougie. I listen.
I am what I am.
Certain things I ain't gonna do. I'm just not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. To do that. Absolutely. And I'm not making no excuses for it either. I'm sorry that bothered you and hurt your feelings, but I'm just not going to sit in the house, you know, where your dog done pooped on the floor and you just stepped over. You're not going to get that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Nobody see that or smell that? Nobody just like
that. Yeah.
Just walking.
Just certain things, I'm just not going to be able to do it.
They just walk in the terror. Remember living in New York when we were little and living in the project. There's roaches in the projects. There's roaches. Yeah, there's no, you know. But there's always that one house that is like the house of all roaches. And you go, I don't know if you've ever, I think only one time, I think in my whole life, I've only been inside a project apartment maybe three times, maybe three. The last time I went to visit this girl, and it was a couple of us. We all went to go visit, and we're sitting in her living room, and I mean, like, you would have thought the roaches were like the waiters, the waitress, you know, the maid.
they
walking by like, y'all want something to drink? Y'all, you know. I was like,
you guessed in my house. I'm chilling, okay? You brought yourself over here.
I was like, yeah, no, this is not for me. Like,
I can't do the hoarder house. Don't get me wrong. I ain't gonna judge you. Something happened. It was tragic. I know it was.
That's their business.
That don't mean I gotta sit in it.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
I don't have to sit down in there.
Exactly. And to go back to what you said about being true to yourself. So for a little bit, I was like, okay, you know, you see, there was probably five or six of us. Everybody's sitting there and they chilling. And, you know, and I'm like, am I the only one that sees these roaches? Like, do you see that? Am I the only one? And everybody's just ignoring it. And I was like, you know what? I can't. I don't fit in here. This is not for me.
It's not my scene.
Yeah, like, this is not for me, you know. This is not the kind of company I want to keep. I you know, no. And I'm like, and I'm looking around.
I ain't judging nobody that had none because I had some before, too. But what I'm saying
is, I totally agree.
If you feel uncomfortable in a situation, bad. You must remove thyself from the
situation. It was bad, yes. I'm like, I couldn't sit down. Like,
Yeah.
You can't get comfortable now. You can't go to sleep now.
No.
Yeah, because once the lights go out, they'll be all over.
They are. It's a party, and I don't want to be a part of that party. No.
Yeah, no.
And, I mean, and she was really cool and everything, but I just, you know,
that wasn't your scene.
We could hang out, but can't we hang out outside?
Because I'm not coming back.
Yeah. I'm not going to go in your house. And I think the fact that I didn't want to go over, and I actually left. I left before everyone else. That's when, oh, she's stuck up. No, I don't like the company. I don't like the keeping.
Yeah.
I'm not.
You true to thyself.
Yes. I'm like, you know what? I should have never came over here. I didn't know. I apologize. But
right.
I'm going to leave all y'all, and I do mean all of y'all, roaches too. I'm going to leave y'all alone.
Yeah, before they try to travel back to your place.
Yeah, like there was no sitting down. And I get it. I like you said, Natira, we all had them. But there's always that one house that, like, the roaches.
It's extreme. Like, they just, they chilling. They got on the chef hat on.
They got on the apron. They asking you what you want for
they
breakfast.
They cooking in the kitchen. They yes. went to the, yeah, I'm going to give me some of that. No,
and I tried. Yeah. I tried to hang out. I'm like, I don't see how y'all could just sit around in here. And that just wasn't my scene. We obviously are not into the same things.
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't judge nobody. You live in your house. Your house is not a museum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You live here.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell, and it don't have to be brand new, and it ain't got to be fancy.
Right.
But it just got to be acceptable. And what I mean acceptable, is it clean? Is it cleanly? Is it
right?
There's no dog poop in the middle of the flow that you gotta step over 15 days. Stuff like that. I'm not that bougie that it gotta be brand new and leather and all that. I don't care if it's your house livable, comfortable. I feel comfortable when I come in it. To me, that's most important. So I feel comfortable when I'm there.
Right.
And people come to my house all the time and they fall asleep and I just get the biggest kick out. I love it. Because I know you're comfortable when you fell asleep. I know you're comfortable because nobody goes to sleep somewhere that they ain't comfortable. Look. And people say, I don't know something about your couch. I said, I know I fall asleep on it all the time. It's something
girl.
That's real cozy.
Girl, let somebody come up in here on my couch and fall asleep. I'm banging pots. I'm tapping legs. I'm sorry. This is not the Hyatt. You're going to have to... It's time to go. Thank you for stopping by.
You don't want my house to make them sleep. They can't help it. It's just cozy. They can't help it.
Yeah, no, I'm not that bad. I like when people come and they're comfortable.
But you want the right people to come.
I need the right
people. Can't anybody just come.
Yes, I need the right people. Everybody can't do it, but the people that I truly like, you know, and they come over, they're free to stay as long as they want. I may not be the greatest of company because I'm only going
to
give you...
I'm about to say, don't make it too comfortable now they don't leave.
No, I look, I'm only going to give you... You got one time you're a guest. When you come back a second time, you're no longer a guest, so don't ask me for nothing. If you're thirsty and you can't go get it, you're just thirsty. I'm not doing all of that. Yeah, I'm not doing all that. So you gotta in order for me to let you get to that point, I have to really truly trust you and like you.
Oh yeah. Because it's your home. Everybody shouldn't be privy to that anyway. I just feel that that's a sacred place.
That's your house is your safe haven. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or should be at least.
It should be a safe haven. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. Well, we all know that the power of friendship is a wonderful thing. And I think we all can agree that it is something that we do need, but we, like you said, Natira, have to be true to ourselves in who we are, what we value, and what the expectations we have are for these people that we bring into our lives. Because ultimately, friendships can last lifetimes.
Yeah,
you know? And you want to make sure that you're spending your lifetime in a way that's making you happy. And who wants to be in a miserable friendship? Who wants to have that friend that's always miserable? And again, like you said, Natira, you don't know what that person has gone through. And it's not that you're going to knock them, but you also have to protect your sanity and your peace as well.
Yeah, because you know how to step back.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I need to step back from this situation, just like Alicia said. I had to step back from this person because I couldn't even get a word in edgewise. What kind of friendship is this? That's not a friendship.
That's right.
I'm your sound, like she said, I'm your sounding board. So we are all at an age now. I mean, we're not young where we're trying to hang out and be the most popular person and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you know when to step back when it's getting too much. This has become too much now, and I need to take some time and some space.
Yeah.
And you know what good friendship and that good balance is. And if you don't, just like Alicia did, you just got to make an adjustment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. Well, that was a very good and amusing conversation. I appreciate you, ladies.
Unapproachable and Miss Introvert. They
know
try
what?
To take advantage of y'all. Don't let them do it.
They do, and sometimes, and I fall. Sometimes I do fall for it. My kids will never believe that I do have a soft side, but it only takes somebody to really rub me the wrong way, and you know, you get what you ask for.
Yep.
But I do have that soft side, and I don't mind allowing myself to be vulnerable to a point. But if I feel like you're trying to take advantage, it's like I kind of lose respect for that person. And I don't want to lose respect for people, but I can't allow you to try to impede on my precious time.
Yep. Yeah,
people try to take advantage of that all the time. So a lot of the time,
also, I think people don't know. I went to a communications class about introvert and extrovert, and I didn't realize the differences between the two. I just knew how I am. And the introverted person said, you know what I hate about extroverted people? They talk too much.
Yeah.
And I had to think about that. Really, I said, ooh, do I do? I had to, you know, you have to do a self-reflection when you're in a class. Do I do that? So now that I know that, I want everybody to have an opportunity to speak, whether they're introverted or not. And the people that I know are introverted, I'll just directly ask them, say, is it something that you would like to add?
I don't know. They're like, no.
Sometimes they can't get it in. I can't. You won't shut up long enough for me to say it.
There's a lot of times they're like, no, I wish you'd not do that. No, I think that for me anyway, if you talk too much, if I like you, it's not really talking too much. Will I need a break? Absolutely. I'll need to take my time and recharge, but I'll enjoy every minute of the conversation that we have. Now, when it's
You be like, that girl talk too much. She never shut up. God.
I have to recharge, and then I have to prepare myself for the next meeting, but that doesn't mean that I don't enjoy it. Now, if you're a stranger and you come on, now, if you're a stranger, it's like death to my ears. Like, oh my God, why?
Shut up.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, I think I'm going
to. Now that I took that class, it taught me a lot. I was so happy. I said, ooh, I didn't know this. Because sometimes introverted people think you conceited because you don't speak a lot, and that's not the case. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, I didn't know that. I mean, thank you. Because some people that I thought was just being, you know, a little stuck up. That wasn't it at all. They just introverted. They don't feel like talking all the time.
I don't like small talk. I hardly do small. If I have to do small talk, oh man, I'll have an attitude for days. I have to be forced to have small. I know sometimes it's important to get that in, but if the majority of what you have to say to me is small, like, don't come up to me and ask me how the weather is or how, I don't really care. We both see what the weather is. Is this statement going to be followed by something that has purpose? Because if you're just asking me how the weather is.
You have an app on your phone for that, sure.
Yeah, like, what does it say? Like, it's redundant. Why are I just need purposeful talk. So when people come in,
small talk queen, they need to put Maya on my shirt. Baby, whatever you need, got you.
Your talk is purposeful because you have things to say. People feel like people are afraid of silence. I think that's a lot of what it's about. People are afraid of silence. So in order to fill that void, they just start putting letters together to form words that really don't need to be said.
And introverts be like, shut up.
Yeah, like, you know, why did that. You, like, I have asthma. I can't be wasting all my breath like that. I got to be careful with what I say.
Don't be a inhaler. It's not on the person.
Yeah, like, I can't. So I just think that some people are just afraid of silence. And somebody has
to. You need to do that on a blog. Silence is okay.
Silence is okay. We can definitely do that because silence is definitely okay. You don't have to talk all the time. And it's crazy because when I just did my pre-practicum, we had a group practice. And one of the things that my professor told us is that we need to start getting comfortable with sitting in silence. And when you have other people who are around you, you feel like you kind of want to make sure that they're okay. And, you know, they don't feel like their time is being wasted. So you kind of want to be attentive to that. But sometimes if you just let people remain silent, it gives them time to think and reflect mm-hmm. and consider what's the best next thing to be said instead of just blurting out random ridiculousness. And so, you know, as she went around, she was asking everybody if they were comfortable with the silence. I was chill. I was like, I was really happy, but I'm mad that you're breaking it now. Like, can we just be silent a little longer?
Yeah.
Introvert.
Because the extroverted person is like, can I speak?
Look, they was walking around like Smokey from, what was it? Next Friday After Next, he's just shaking and scratching. They was Jones and they needed to talk. And I'm like, so introverts really stay in their head. I live in my head. That's why my husband will tell me I'll just start randomly having the conversation in the middle of the conversation because I done had all the beginning in my head without him and it'll just start coming out.
But, like, second of all, what was first? Second of all.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
We live in our heads. I think a lot. That can be a problem because I overthink.
Yeah.
Oh no. Mm-mm. I'm shutting this brain down. I'm done thinking. I'm going to bed.
I overthink. I could fall asleep with something on my mind and I'll wake up and I'm like, oh yeah. And if that doesn't work, mm-hmm. then I'm up because I gotta try to figure it out. Like I'm always.
Oh
I'm,
no! Let me tell you. 2020 is the year. This is it. My husband told me. I used to get mad when he told me this. He used to tell me. He said, "Listen, your intelligence is up here, and what you're trying to figure out is way down here, and that's why you can't figure it out. You need to let that go."
That.
I used to get mad. I said, "Don't tell me that now."
Write that down, because I absolutely love that.
Your intelligence is way up here, baby, and what you're trying to figure out is so low. Your brain can't go that low. It just can't do it. You're trying to figure out something so ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Okay, I need to figure out.
Because it don't make sense. You're going to have to let that go.
We have to turn that into something, because that kind of makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That kind of actually.
I used to get so mad when he's telling me, but 2020, I don't care. I said, listen, I know that Bible verse, and this ain't a biblical thing, but it says, trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on thy own understanding. I ain't trying to understand nothing in 2020. If I can't understand it, it's beyond me. It's below me, beneath me, beyond me, whatever. I'm not wasting another minute trying to understand something I can't understand. I don't understand. If God want me to know, He'll reveal it to me. If not, I'm keep moving.
That's
to put it on my vision board.
And you know what? Speaking of vision boards, I'm actually working on something. I'm thinking about doing it's like an online course to do a vision board. That I might have to steal that from your husband. I'm sorry,
that's
but
fine. You can use that word because that actually makes sense. And now I said that's beyond me. It's
that makes sense.
It's beyond me. I'm above that. I can't.
That makes absolute sense. Wow. Okay.
Just imagine how much time we waste trying to understand something that just can't be understood.
I know. I waste a lot of time. Sometimes I get consumed because I'm trying to figure out something, and mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. husband's like, just let it go. I'm like, okay. And as soon as he walk away, I'm back at it.
2020 is my year. I put it on my vision board. I'm not going to waste another second trying to understand anything that I cannot understand. If I need to know, I ask the Lord. And if He don't tell me, then I don't need to know it. Period.
I agree. That's a good one.
Yeah. Stop wasting time trying to fix up your intelligence. It's just way up here. It can't go that low. It just can't. Mm. It won't do it. Mm. It's not going to be able to do it. Let it go.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. Okay, husband. Write about it. Put it in your
journal. I'm not tell your husband people. You got one.
Now
you
got one. Spend too much time thinking about that.
Look, let me, because I'm going to be here like, God, when he said that, what exactly was he talking? No, I'm not going to kill myself with it. At least I'm not going to tell y'all so.
It was beneath you.
I'm not going to tell y'all that I killed myself with it, but I might think about it a little longer.
I know you're going to think about it a little bit longer, and that's good. You're going to write something about that. I know it's coming,
We're going to get that. We're going to find something to do with that, because I actually really like that.
Yeah. We waste too much time with stuff like, I don't even care. Whatever. Okay. It'll work itself out.
Say that again. Your intelligence is up here.
Your intelligence way up here. Go as far as your fingertip can go. Just put your hand up. Your intelligence is way up here. Uh-huh. What you trying to figure out is way at your toenail, at your pinky toe. Okay. Your brain cannot go that low. It cannot understand it. You trying to figure out something that is beneath you. Your intelligence. You're going to have to let it go.
Okay, your husband got that one. He got 5 points. He got brownie points.
All I don't know where he got it from, but he's telling me that all the time. I get so mad because I be in there trying to figure it out. You are 100% right about this, and I'm going to have to let that go.
Yeah, I actually really like that. Okay. All right.
You like the man on the thing. It's beyond me now.
It's beyond, yeah. Look, I'm writing it down.
I can't make you understand. It's beyond
me. That's right. There we go. Okay. We're going to figure something out with that one. I like that.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate both of you.
All right. Let's talk to you later.